I'm going to preach a message on true grit. And that scares some of you. So I got you some cereal, too, some Fruit Loops. I may use these later. If not, Brother Blackwell, I'll give you the grits, okay? Anybody want the Fruit Loops? Brother Fruit. I'm going to read a couple of passages to you. You won't need to turn to them. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, I'm going to read to you one verse, verse number 13. The Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 9, another passage. Again, I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn to it. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 9, the first part of the verse says, be strong and quit yourselves like men. Quit ye like men. I'm going to tell you a story. Many months ago, a friend of mine was painting about 20 feet in the air, and he slipped and he fell. He was falling toward the ground. His back hit an air conditioner. It was protruding out of the side of the building. It wasn't but just a moment that his assistant rushed to his aid, and it was obvious he was hurt very, very badly. That friend's name is Randy Rogers. Randy's been a part of my adult Sunday school class for years. The man that was there with him was his employee and also a man in my Sunday school class. That morning, they rode to work together. Randy's assistant had no idea where they were. He was a little bit panicked because he knew he needed to call an ambulance. Randy had just fallen from 20 feet. But he couldn't figure out where he was. His assistant called two people. He called Randy's wife so she could check the records to figure out the exact address. He was using the mobile phone. And then he called me. And why he called me, I don't know. He just thought that he had to call me and tell me something needed to happen. They rushed Randy to the hospital. After a series of long nights wondering whether he would live or die, we found that Randy was paralyzed. He had lost use of both of his legs, basically both of his hands, and he would be paralyzed from the chest down, still teetering between life and death. A wife, a family of three. I remember going to the hospital day after day, actually month after month. Finally, one night, I walked into the hospital in Chicago. I think it was on the 8th floor of the particular hospital. I walked in. His dear wife, Tina, was crying. And she said, Brother Owens, you've got to do something. Randy quit on us. She said, he's starving himself to death. He won't talk to us. He said it's not worth it. Now, I've been in there and encouraged from day one. You got to keep going, Randy. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. You got to keep going, Randy. You got to keep going. You got to keep going, Randy. We can't quit. She said he looks so forward to your visit. I wrote him a letter every week for almost 8 months. Many of you helped me write letters. And that night, it seemed like no matter what Tina had done, no matter what anybody had done, they could not get Randy to listen to reason. You have to understand, here's a man in his prime, a wife and children, owned a business, had a big future ahead of him. Now he's paralyzed. They wondered if they would ever even get him into a wheelchair again. They thought he might even be bedridden for the rest of what life he would give him. I went into the room and I said, Randy, look, Doc, we got to get it together here, buddy. You can do it. He would talk to me. He turned his face to the wall. I said, well, look, Randy, you got to do it. I took him back to a conversation that he and I had a few years before. We were out soul winning together. And he said, Brother Owens, he said, sometimes I wonder if anybody believes in me. I said, I believe in you, Randy. I believe in you. You can do something, Randy. He said, yeah, you'll be like some of the others. They said they believed in me, but they forgot after a little while. I said, buddy, you saying to me that you and I are going to do something for God, and I'm telling you I believe in you, and I won't forget. I won't let you forget this conversation this night. I was in his hospital room reminding him of that conversation 2 years before. Tina had stepped out into the hallway. He just wouldn't look at me, wouldn't talk to me. I said, what are you going to do, quit? He just kind of looked at me out of the side of his eyes with anger. And finally I said, all right, fine. He said, you quit. You just go ahead and quit on everybody that's invested in you. You go ahead. You go ahead and quit, and you starve yourself to death and let your wife marry a man. I said, you go ahead and let somebody else rear your kids because you're not man enough to do what's got to be done. You go ahead. And the guy that's next to you that was in a drunk driving accident that's decided he'll live, you go ahead and let a drunk that's in his shape because he's a drunk have more character and grit and courage than you do. You quit, buddy. You go ahead and you release me of my vow to be committed to you. You're going to quit on me. I need somebody that wants to stick to the promise. I said, you quit. Go right ahead. And you quit on everybody. All the people that have prayed, and all the people who have been for you, go ahead and quit. Quit on us. Go ahead. Fine. I turned around and walked out. Now, the man that was with me, he was in shock. As I walked out, I said, Tina, you can go back in. She told me this the very next day. She said he still wouldn't look at her or talk to her at first because he was looking out of the corner of the eye to see if I'd gone. She said the minute he heard that elevator door close, he looked at her and said, get me a bologna sandwich now. He said, did you hear what he said to me? I will get out of here just to get him for that. I think he would tell you that night he remembered he was a man and he was not going to quit. He's not going to quit. He was there when we brought him home the very first time from the hospital. I took him to preach. Some months later, we gave him a chance to preach to a group of people. He was the captain for my adult Sunday school class's spring program for the last 7 weeks in Sunday school every Sunday morning, bringing visitors, soul winning, telling others about Christ. Guy's in a wheelchair, but I'll tell you what, that's a man in that wheelchair. It's a man in the wheelchair. And he decided, I'm not going to quit. You know, as you look in the Bible, there are a lot of people that had reasons to quit. In the book of Genesis, Noah didn't quit. He lost everything in a flood, but he did not quit. In the book of Exodus, the children of Israel, they didn't quit. They were in captivity and they were slaves, but they did not quit. In the book of Leviticus, Aaron didn't quit. He lost two boys, Nadab and Abihu, but he did not quit. In Numbers, Moses did not quit. He lost a sister. He did not quit. In Joshua did not quit. He had to fight a battle, and he was outnumbered, but he said, I will not quit. In the book of Judges, Samson didn't quit. Even after he had lost the power of God, he said, I'll get it back. I'm coming back. I'll rise again. He did not quit. In the book of Ruth, Naomi didn't quit. Her husband died. She didn't quit. Her sons died. She didn't quit. In 1 Samuel, Jonathan didn't quit. Some people had turned on his friends, but he did not quit. In 2 Samuel, David didn't quit. His family fell apart. All sorts of things. He had made mistakes, but he did not quit. In 1 Kings, Elijah didn't quit. But the king and the queen had a warrant out for his arrest, but he said, I will not quit. I will not quit. Noah said, I will not quit. The children of Israel said, no, we're not going to be quitters. In 2 Kings, Elisha did not quit when he was surrounded by an army that would overwhelm him, but he said, I'll not quit. In Ezra's life, Ezra did not quit. Even though the people God had given him to serve chose money over God, the man of God kept on going. Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, did not quit. While building a wall, he had to keep a sword in his hand to fight away the attackers, but he said, I would not quit. I will not quit.
I have not quit, and I'm not going to quit. No matter what, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. In the book of Esther, Mordecai didn't quit. Haman tried to hang him, but he said, I will not quit. In the book of Job, Job did not quit. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost his friends. But he did not lose his courage, and he kept going. The book of Psalms, the psalmist said, I water my couch with my tears. But then he said, but the Lord hath heard me. I will not quit. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, a just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. In other words, he gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He gets knocked down, but he gets back up. And most people can't knock you down enough. If you just get up, they'll give up. And listen to me. Don't quit. Don't quit. Isaiah didn't quit. Even though Isaiah knew the future. He knew some of the things that were going to happen. He prophesied it. He said, but I will not quit. Jeremiah didn't quit. He had to tell his loved ones they were not right with God, but he didn't quit. Daniel, the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into a fiery furnace, but they did not quit. Hosea didn't quit. What did he do? Hey, look at it. Hosea had a wife that was a whore, but he did not quit. Jonah didn't quit. He went to the bottom of the sea, but he did not quit. Matthew, you see in the book of Matthew, Mary and Joseph, they wanted to kill that Christ child. His parents said, we will not quit. In the book of Mark, the story of blind Bartimaeus, he would not quit, and he did not quit, and he got his sight back. In the book of Luke, Peter didn't quit. Oh, he had done some sinning, but he didn't quit. Yes, he sinned. He fell down, but he got back up. And he fell down, but he got back up. And he fell down, but he got back up. He said, I will not quit. John didn't quit, even though Christ had been killed. He was in the grave, but John didn't quit. The book of Acts, Paul did not quit. Paul had been, he had suffered from snake bite, imprisoned, beaten, suffered shipwreck. But you know what? Every time he got knocked down, he got back up. He said, I will not quit. I will not quit. I will not quit. Some of these people lost their possessions, but they did not quit. Some were held prisoner, but they did not quit. They lost their families, but they did not quit. They had to fight impossible battles, but they did not quit. They even lost the blessing of God, but they did not quit. They were left alone, but they did not quit. They watched their family fall into sin, but they did not quit. They faced death, but they did not quit. They lost the loyalty of others, but they did not quit. They knew the future was bleak, but they did not quit. They heard bad news, but they did not quit. They had terrible illness, they did not quit. They had sinned against God, but they did not quit. They had run from God, but they did not quit. They were homesick, but they did not quit. They lost their health, but they did not quit. They had been cheated, but they would not quit. They were confused, but they did not quit. They were tired, but they did not quit. In the Bible, there were kings and they struggled, but they didn't quit. There were queens and they struggled, but they didn't quit. There were moms and they struggled, but they didn't quit. There were dads and they struggled, but they didn't quit. Sons and daughters, it was tough and it was hard, but they did not quit. There were rulers and servants, it was tough, but they did not quit. There were captains, and it was tough and they struggled, but they did not quit. There were privates. Top of the rank, bottom of the rank, everybody struggled, but they did not quit. Executives struggled, but they don't have to quit. There were farmers in the Bible. It was tough. There were droughts, but they did not quit. There were adults, and they struggled, but they did not quit. There were children, and they struggled, but they did not quit. There were rich, and they struggled, but they did not quit. There were poor, and they struggled, but they did not quit. There were healthy, and they struggled, but they did not quit. And they were unhealthy, but they did not quit. They were educated, but they did not quit. They were uneducated. But they did not quit. You know, I looked up the word quit. I didn't look it up in my dictionary. I had to borrow one. Quit means to discontinue, leave, or abandon. If you went to the reading room, and you got one of the dictionaries from Hiles Anderson College, you would see that the word quit is not found in those dictionaries. I wonder if we've made a mistake by allowing you to have the word quit in your dictionary. The college believes you're not to quit. but I think some of you have looked the word up, and that's an important word in your vocabulary. And if I were you, I think every one of you need to go to your personal dictionary in your personal room and take out your personal knife or get a personal blowtorch and blow that word out of your dictionary. You shouldn't have that word in there. Take it out. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going. Don't quit. Quitters are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. Some people were at home when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some people were at school when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some people were at work when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some people were in the dorms when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some people were in their ministry when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some people were in church when they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some people were in jail, and they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some were on the mountaintop, and they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some were in a valley, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in their senior year of college, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in their junior year of college, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in the sophomore year of college, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in the freshman year of college, and they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some were with friends, and they were tempted to quit, but they didn't quit. Some were around enemies, and the enemies tempted them to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in a crowd, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were all alone, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in a good place, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in a bad place, and they were tempted to quit, but they did not quit. Some were in the deep, dark room of depression, but they did not quit. Now, you don't have to quit either. You don't have to quit. Some had pain, but they did not quit. Some had heartache, but they did not quit. Some had burdens, but they did not quit. Some had roommates, but they did not quit. And that's a big one. They had disloyal followers, but they did not quit. Some had stress. That's the roommates. But they did not quit. Some had late bills, but they did not quit. Some had sick children, but they did not quit. Some had bad past, but they did not quit. Some had bad gas, but they did not quit. You don't have to quit. Quitters are everywhere. There are many different circumstances surrounding successful people, but there's one common denominator. They won't be stopped. They will not quit. Don't you quit. Someone said, quitters never win. Winners never quit. He said, well, I'm down right now. Well, get up. Get up. Get up and try again. You can do it. I know you can. Just get up. You have the Holy Spirit of God sealed deep within you. That's enough to give to anybody victory over anything. It'll give you a victory over the grave. It'll give you a victory over death. It'll give you a victory over hell. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. You are empowered. You can do it. Now do it. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. 1 Samuel 4, 9. Be strong and quit yourselves like men. In other words, grow up. And quit like a man. Quit like a man. You don't take your ball and run home. That's my ball. We're not playing anything. Well, around here, we'll play with you or without you. Be best with you. You take the ball, we get another ball. You'll be the one missing the game. Not us. Quit ye like men. You know, to a man, the quitting of bad is good. To a man, the quitting of bad is good. Sometimes you hear the word quit and you think, well, you shouldn't quit anything. Well, yeah, you should. You're supposed to be a quitter. But you quit bad. A real man quits what's bad. It's not bad to quit bad. It's not wrong to cease from doing wrong. Some of you are not man enough to quit the wrong that you're doing. Someone may call you a quitter because you keep giving up bad things. In that case, God wants you called a quitter. There's some things you can just call me a quitter about. Just go ahead and call me a quitter. I'm supposed to quit what's wrong. I'm supposed to quit my sin. Proverbs 20, verse 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You know what it says there? It's an honor to be a quitter in certain areas. They all make fun of me. Who cares? It's an honor to be called a quitter in certain areas. There's certain things you're supposed to quit. And, hey, when was the last time anybody made fun of you because you quit something that they were all doing that was wrong? Anybody called you a quitter lately? Sometimes it's an honor to be called a quitter. To quit like a man, you cease from doing bad. Job 3:17 says, cease from troubling others. That means quit. Quit causing contention among the brethren. Psalm 37:8, cease from your anger. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You ought to quit losing your temper with your wife, husband. You ought to quit losing your temper with those people that are your brothers. Proverbs 18:18, cease from contentions. Proverbs 19:27, cease from hearing the wicked. That may be the music that you're listening to and the garbage that's on the television and all of it. Cease from listening to the wicked. Quit means quit. Quit it. Stop it. It's an honor to quit certain things. Proverbs 23:4, it says, cease from thine own wisdom. The Bible says, trust in the Lord, lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Some of you are too smart, you're too big for your own britches. Isaiah 1:16 says, cease from doing evil. Quit it. Isaiah 13:11 says, cease from your pride. By the way, let me remind every one of you something. God has used you in a spring program to do mighty works that God could have used anybody. It was the grace and the love of an almighty God that he chose you. Don't you get your head so puffed up that you think God's got to have you. You've got to have God. And Ezekiel 6:6 says, cease from your idols. That's your cars. So you guys, your cars and your dreams of who's going to ride in your car this summer are going to get you into immorality problems. Hot Rod, you've been watching too much television. Any girl that go after a man because of a car, just get you a car, woman. Don't be no fool. You don't get a warranty with a man. Ezekiel 6:6 says, cease from your idols. That's some of your boyfriends and girlfriends back home. Let me warn some of you. You've done pretty well. You've lived here at the college and followed all the rules all this semester. Some of you are going to go home. You're going to get with that old crowd. You're going to go back to that old boyfriend or that old girlfriend, and you won't be back to college, and you won't be used of God in the future. You better get rid of that idol. You better break it down. You better get away from it. And the Bible says in Isaiah 31:1, cease from your greed. Stop being greedy. The Bible says in Acts 13:10, cease from preventing others from doing right. Somebody else wants to quit doing wrong, and you're trying to keep them from it. You quit hindering others from doing right. Somebody wanted to go soul winning, and you didn't. You quit hindering them. Somebody wanted to get on a bus route, and you didn't want them to, and you influenced them the wrong way. You quit hindering people like that. It is good to be called a quitter of bad. I want to be called a quitter of bad. You should quit like a man. What does a man quit? Man quits bad. Quit some of those bad friends. Quit some of that bad music. Quit those bad thoughts. Quit those bad books. Quit those bad habits. Quit those bad that bad boyfriend. Quit that bad girlfriend. Quit those bad summer plans that are already turning up here. Quit them. Quit thinking that way. Quit that bad church. Quit that bad dress habit. Quit that bad conversation. Quit that bad language. Quit that bad breath. I was thinking that because I said my brother Moore wrote that in just a minute ago. There are some things you're supposed to quit. The Bible says it's an honor to be a quitter in certain areas. Some of you got it all mixed up, though. You got them reversed. I said quitting of bad is good. Second point, the quitting of good is bad. The quitting of good is bad. Quitting school before you graduate is bad. Quitting school before you graduate is bad. You know, I believe this. You could disagree if you want, but I think it's just as wrong for you to quit college as it would be or would have been for you to quit high school. Just quitting school. For some of you, you would have never dreamed of quitting high school. Why? Where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to go to college or school for 12 years? The worst part about quitting high school is you didn't finish what you started. That's the worst part. You show me in the Bible where it says you are supposed to go to kindergarten through 12th grade and graduate from high school. It's not in there. But you are to finish what you start, which means you've started college, and it's just as bad for you not to finish college as it would have been for you not to finish high school. But you say, I'd never do that. That would not be socially acceptable. Well, what about heavenly acceptable? What about character acceptable? What about integrity acceptable? You're going to quit school, and don't take the shortcuts either. You heard Brother Hiles say it. Some of you are taking shortcuts, trying to look for the fastest way out when your character needs you to take the slowest way out. You need to slow down. Don't you quit school. Some of you, you're going to go home over the summer, and we know that. You better come back and finish what you started. Finish what you started. Finish what you started. So the quitting of good is bad. Don't quit school. Number two, don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your marriage. Matthew 19:6, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Some of you, I counseled someone just recently, a husband and wife. She's filing for divorce. She said, because we don't talk enough. There's not been immorality. She's not been beaten. He has not betrayed her. They just don't communicate. She said, I've had it. I'm not living with him anymore. She's learned to grow up and quit like an adult. You don't quit because somebody won't talk to you. There's some of you, John, Dylan from college. Somebody won't talk to me. You big baby. Hey, marriage is bigger than that. And if you're not big enough, if you're not big enough to agree with what I'm with what I'm saying, I'd be careful getting married. You get married, you're supposed to stay married. What God has joined together, let my man put asunder. Are you a man, son? Maybe you're testifying. You get married, you stay married. So, well, you know, I didn't think it was going to turn out this way. You can't predict the future. All she expected is that it was going to turn out that you'd keep your word. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Now keep your word. Don't quit what you've started. Stick in there. Hey, look, the quitting of good is bad. Quitting work is bad. Everybody here is you're supposed to work. Some of you can't wait to go home over the summer so you don't have to work. You won't be right with God if you go home and you're lazy all summer. You won't be right with God. Bunch of welfare Christians can't wait to get home and mom and dad suck up all their food and you suck up their heat and sleep in their bed while you're a lazy dog. That's not right. That's not right. You're a big boy now. You're not a baby anymore. You're a big girl now. You work hard when you get home. And if it was your intention to go home so you get out of work, why don't you just stay and grow up? Brother Sally, I'll never forget when I first got here to college. I hated you. You know what he did? He sent me to work at a place called Fruhoff. Now, Fruhoff and hell are the same Greek word. He had good money. They ought to pay you good money. They drain your blood. I'm afraid of work. And I've worked and I've worked and I've worked. But when I got to Fruhoff, they were nuts. I mean, I think all these people took bad drugs right before you got there so they could punish you and torment you. And this one guy, and Fruhoff, we were trying to get, there's a Teamster union there, and you had 30 days to get into the Teamsters union. They're going to find out if you're worth having in the union. And then, boy, did they find out. We started out with 30 guys that Brother Sally sent up there. When we got done, there were six left. They got rid of everybody else. I can remember, as you'd work through the night, you ran. And if you didn't have the tools that you needed at the moment, they'd make you run around the truck. Run, sprint, move, like a drill sergeant. I mean, this guy's nuts. We'll run around this truck. Why? You're not going to sit down on our time. Well, I'd run for $14 an hour around a truck. You stupid fool. Fine, whatever you want. I watched them. They'd call guys to the office and fire them. They'd say, oh, badge number 127, bring your toolbox, come to the office. Guys in between the trucks were going, oh, I'm out of here. I'll never forget. This one fellow I was riding up to work with, they called him into the office and they said, look, you're the next one that's going out the door. If you don't knock it off, we're going to give you one more chance. I heard him. He said, please, don't give me another chance. Fire me now. They said, fine, beat it. He said, au revoir. I was dying. I'm not afraid to work. These guys were nuts. And this one guy, he'd cut his hand. He's one of the supervisors. He'd cut his hand. And I mean, it's a big gaping wound. There's blood running all down his arm and on his t-shirt. And he's running around saying, what's wrong with you, wimps? Let's work. He's flipping that thing. I get blood in my face. He said, what's wrong with you, wimps? I called him Stitch. What's wrong with you guys? He went off and got his stitches, come back to show them off and everything. I can remember, it took 30 days to get into the Teamsters Union. The 29th day, the shift had basically shut down. I was laying all the way in the back of the truck. I couldn't even pick up my legs or my arms. I worked so hard. I was laying there. I had tears running down the side of my face. I said, I don't think I can walk on. Everything I gave, they wanted more. And I give to my boss. And this boss, Stitch, walked by and said, "You're not quitting on me, are you, Owens?" "And we're going to find you floating face down somewhere, son." And with every bit of energy I had left, I jumped up and I said, "No, I'm not quitting. Is everybody else going home? Are we done, or is there more to be done?" He said, "You're nuts." I said, "Phew." The next day, the six of us got voted into the union, and I went home on a Friday night, and they closed the plant down on Monday. And your boss, he said, "Hurry up," and you quit. You quit. You can't control your temper, so you quit. You don't quit work. You stay in there, and you work hard, and you give, and you give, and you give, and you give, and you give. Don't be a quitter. Hey, don't let some long-haired faggot bloody outwork you down there at the shop. You work hard. You show them what a Baptist is made of. Don't you quit. You give more than what they want. You work harder. You stay longer. You give yourself in everything you do. Quitting work, that's bad. I'm not going to let a lost man show me up. Hey, why should people without God do better than people with God? Some of you quit praying. Don't quit. Don't quit praying. The Bible says we should not cease to pray. Colossians 1:9. Don't quit praying even if the answer doesn't come today. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying even if the answer doesn't come tomorrow. Don't quit praying. Hey, don't quit praying just because you didn't get what you wanted. Don't quit praying. God knows best. Hey, don't quit praying because you're tired. Keep praying. You need God more now than you've ever needed Him. Don't quit praying. Don't quit believing that God answers prayer. Don't quit believing that the answer's on the way. Don't quit. Don't quit praying. He's up there. He's alive. He's well. He's capable. He's powerful. Keep on praying. Don't quit praying when you're sad. Don't quit praying when you're down. Don't quit praying when others laugh and you cry. Don't quit. Don't quit when you don't get your request at first. Don't quit. Let me tell you, let me give you all a little bit of advice. Every one of you that had a big day yesterday, you better spend as much time with God after the miracle as you did before, or He's going to know you're using Him as a credit card. You get with Him and thank Him. He'll remember you the next time around. Don't quit praying. Hey, don't quit being thankful. Hey, let's be thankful when we're sick, and let's be thankful when we're healthy. Let's be thankful when we're hungry. Let's be thankful when we're full. Some of you can be more thankful than others. Let's be thankful when we're friendless. Let's be thankful when we have plenty of friends. The Bible teaches we're to continue in thanksgiving. Let's be thankful when we're rich, and thankful when we're poor, and thankful when we're employed, and thankful when we're unemployed, and thankful when we pass a test, and thankful when we flunk a test, and thankful when there are no more tests. Be thankful. You say, why? You're not going to hell, are you? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I put up with Stitch. He and I aren't going to the same place. I'm thankful. Hey, don't quit serving God. Don't quit serving God. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit obeying the authority. Don't quit church. Don't quit singing for Christ. Don't quit giving. Don't quit your bus route. Don't quit the Bible club ministry. Don't quit the sailor ministry. Don't quit the foster club. Don't quit loving others. Don't quit your soul winning bus. Don't quit the street preaching. Don't quit your classes. Don't quit that staff position. Don't quit that faculty position. Don't quit when you get in the pastorate. Hey, don't quit your Sunday school class. Don't quit the deaf ministry. Don't quit praising God. Don't quit praising God. Don't quit praising God. Hey, don't quit going down to the jail to preach. Don't quit that truck stop ministry. Don't quit. Don't quit. Yes, don't quit. Well, I tell you what, quitters never win. Quitters never win. Hey, don't quit your soul winning. Don't quit trying to win your family. Don't quit trying to win the lost or your peers or the poor or the rich. Don't quit winning the middle class. Don't quit winning the blacks. Don't quit winning the reds. Don't quit winning the whites. Don't quit winning the blues. Don't quit. Don't quit. So you need to decide right now you're not going to quit your classes. Don't quit. Don't quit. What I would like is a crack at your class that you're so far behind on that you can't make it up. Let me have that class. Let me have that thing. I'll shake that tree. I'll give what it takes. I'll figure out a way. I'll go after it. I'll get it. And so could you if you wanted it. Don't quit. Some of you need to quit making excuses and start making some solutions. Don't make excuses. Make solutions. It's hard. That's one of my favorite ones. It's hard. No harder for you than it was for the last freshman that faced the very same thing that made it. Nobody in here faces anything that somebody else hasn't faced, and they did not quit. No harder than the last sophomore that faced it, and they didn't quit. No harder than the last junior that faced it, and they didn't quit. No harder than the last senior that faced it, and they didn't quit. You say, well, it was their upbringing. Yeah, they were reared with courage and tenacity and boldness. You can do it. You can do it. God would not ask you to do anything you cannot do. It's my peers. Then get away from your peers and rise above the crowd. I don't know what to do. Then get help. Now you know what to do. Get help. I'm not a permanent quitter. You're a permanent pea brain. Ball game going on. Man walked through the field. Little boy's out in center field. The man said to the little boy, so what's the score? The little boy said, 100-0. 100-0. And the man said, 100-0? 100-0? The man said, who's ahead? The little boy said, well, they are. 100-0 and they're ahead? The little boy said, yeah. And the man said, you're awful excited, aren't you? He said, well, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. He said, why are you so excited? He said, mister, we ain't got up to bat yet. You just wait until we get up to bat. Hey, you might be down, but you're going to get up, and you're going to get up to bat. You're going to have your crack at it. Go ahead, pick up the bat, step up the bat, hit the ball. Hey, let me ask you something. Well, maybe we ought to use this approach. Go ahead, quit. We knew you couldn't make it. We've been watching. I knew you couldn't do it. Put your tail between your legs and go home. Go ahead. Quit your class, weenie. Hey, let's make it so that we save the men around here for the ladies that can pick it. We don't want the preacher boys marrying wimpy women. It's going to take some toughness to make it in the ministry. If you can't take that class, how are you going to take it in the ministry? Fella, yes, let's go ahead. We'll get you married off to somebody in San Francisco. Leave the godly women alone. You can't take it. Go ahead and die. Go ahead and die. Go ahead. Rid us. Rid us of the wimpiness. And I'm glad to say something. I'm glad to say that every moment that I preach this message at a prayer warrior, he's out on his knees because he can't get on his knees. He's in his wheelchair. And every time I preach, since that day, he's prayed for me every moment I'm preaching. Don't quit. Quit me like men.